Let us pray. Lord, may we not just hear your word, but may we receive it. May we keep them in our heart and in our minds. May they be made known through the work of our hands, and may they form us as people of your kingdom. Amen. Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Mark. I'll be reading from chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' There is no other commandment greater than these." Then the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all your heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared to ask him any question. Beloved of God, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Thanks be to God.
So today, the last Sunday in October, is sometimes recognized as Reformation Sunday, because the last day in October, October 31st, All Hallows' Eve, the day before All Saints' Day, is the day that it is understood that Martin Luther nailed those 95 theses to that church door in Wittenberg a little over 500 years ago, back in 1517. Which has been seen as one of the main sparks of what became known as the Protestant Reformation. And so while it's not a liturgical day on the church calendar, not a day like Easter or Christmas or Pentecost or a season like Advent or Lent, it is a part of church history, and particularly the part of church history that's in the branch, the stream, the flavor of the Christian faith that we find ourselves in. Right? It is a day and it is something worth remembering. The Reformation, not a perfect movement by any stretch, but there were some great things to hold on to that were involved in it. One of those is one of the slogans of the Reformation. One of the slogans became, you may have heard it here and there if you've hung out in Protestant or Presbyterian or Reformed circles for any length of time. The slogan, "The Church Reformed, Always Being Reformed." Well, you might hear that from time to time. Well, that was the shortened version of this full slogan or saying. The full version was this: "The Church Reformed, Always Being Reformed, According to the Word of God." The Church, always being reformed, according to the Word of God. This morning finds us in Mark's Gospel, a few chapters down the road from where we were last week. And between then and now, Jesus has entered Jerusalem. Think Palm Sunday, right? Not the season of the church. That's a different time of the calendar year. But this is where we are in the timeline of Mark's gospel. We're in the final week here in our passage this morning, the final week leading up to Jesus' crucifixion. And among other things, since he's entered Jerusalem, among other things, between where we were last week and where we are this week, Jesus has, he's gone in and he has cleansed the temple. He's turned over the tables and all of that. And then there in the temple area, he's been answering questions and debating with all manner of religious leaders. They've questioned his authority, and he's answered them in a parable about tenants in a vineyard. Some have tried to trap him with a question about human allegiance and paying taxes to Rome. And he's answered with a question of his own and a command about giving to the emperor the things that are the emperor and to God the things that are God's. And still another group has tried to trap him with a question about a theological question about the resurrection of the dead, which came couched in a question about marriage. And Jesus has answered them in a way that exposed their misreading of Scripture and of God's power, and really exposed the cynical nature of their question in the first place. And it's after all of this, all of these debates and arguments and questions and answers that Jesus has been given there in the temple area, probably right there in the temple courtyard, that the scribe comes up to Jesus. And having heard all of this back and forth between Jesus and these other religious leaders and the scribe apparently impressed with the answers that Jesus has been given, he has this question for Jesus. Which commandment is the first of all? Of all the commandments, of all that God has said, which is the most important? Which has priority? Or maybe better, which is the ground for all the others? In all these questions and debates, Jesus, that you've been having, in all the answers that you've been given, what is the very heart? What are you operating from? What is driving you? What is the one command that informs all these others that you have been talking about? And Jesus answers, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength." And Jesus expands on this a little bit, and he also adds, with all your mind as well. Right? Love God with all that you are, your emotional, your spiritual, your intellectual, your physical life, your very being. And the second is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Now, we know these, right? We know these. This is not new to us. This shows up also in Matthew and Luke's Gospels as well, and the same idea in the writings of John. Well, here's the thing. This wasn't new to the scribe either. Jesus actually isn't saying anything new here. He's quoting things that are very old and very well known, especially to someone like this scribe. What commandment is first of all? It's the ground of everything else. And to answer that question, Jesus, he reaches back. He reaches way back, generation after generation. He reaches back and he quotes from the Torah, from the law of Moses. From Deuteronomy chapter 6, this section that is known as the Shema, from the Hebrew word for hear or listen. From what is, if there is anything like a foundational creed in Judaism, this is it. He quotes this from Deuteronomy. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." And Jesus then expands that a little and also adds with your mind as well, right? Love God with all that you are. And hearing this part, the scribe would have immediately known everything around these verses too. He was one of the scribes. He was an expert in the law. He would have also known the full scope of this passage. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and with all your might." And then he would have known that passage in Deuteronomy keeps going. "Keep these words that I, the Lord, am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise, Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. See, Deuteronomy 6 itself, what Jesus reaches back to, it is itself a commentary of sorts on the first commandment that shows up in just the chapter before in Deuteronomy. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. So Deuteronomy here talking about to love the Lord your God with all that you are is a commentary on that first commandment. It expands it and expounds it. It informs it for us. And so you get the full picture here of what Jesus is reaching back to. What's the first, the greatest, the ground of all that God has said? In the meditations of your heart, in the words of your mouth, in your relationships at home and away from home, in your generation and in the life of the generations to come, the beginning and ending of each day, in the work of your hands, in the thoughts of your mind, and in all your comings and goings, keep this word of love, this love of God and this love for God. But not just any God, but the Lord our God, he says. Not just any God, but this God, whose very name, the Lord, is a name of covenant faithfulness and loving kindness to you. And in that, this God that has called and claimed you, freed you, delivered you, every commandment, not least this one that is first of all, begins with who this God is. I am the Lord, this God who has given himself to you, to y'all. The fundamental nature of this God made manifest and unfolding in human history as the God who frees and liberates, calls and redeems and saves, binds himself to you, to us, to this world. Jesus reaches back and says, this is the ground of everything else. But Jesus doesn't stop there, does he? Because Jesus then immediately says, the second is this. Right? The scribe didn't ask for a second, but that's okay. Right? Jesus, like any good preacher, he's ready to say far more than what was asked for. Right? Sorry. So Jesus says, the second is this. And Jesus reaches back again, reaches all the way back, this time to Leviticus chapter 19. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Leviticus 19 has been about community relationships. It's talked about how to treat one another. Leviticus 19 lifts up such things as treating workers fairly and justly, making provision for the poor, welcoming and caring for the alien and stranger, immigrant and refugee, providing equity for those who may have physical or other limitations. That's the context that builds up in Leviticus 19 that all leads up to this command, love your neighbor as yourself. It has been all about don't treat people in this way or that way, but instead treat them like this. In short, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Much less about a particular feeling and much more about a decision to act in particular ways toward one another and toward a community. A decision to orient ourselves in particular community ways. Why? I am the Lord, this command finishes with. Why should we love our neighbor as ourselves? Because of who our God is. The very God who is in community with us in this same way. At the end of all these things that Jesus has been doing and saying, these things that seem and sound so new that they have come along and threaten to disrupt and upend everything about the way things are. All this is even built on the very things God has said and commanded. Jesus says to the scribe right there in the context of what was going on in in that time with God's people, there in the temple courtyard, the temple with its offerings and sacrifices, the concerns with personal holiness and practice, this community of faith trying to hold on to being a faithful and distinct community of faith in the midst of imposing and hostile, at times hostile, governing or social powers or economic powers. And the very real and understandable and quite honestly relatable negotiations that were being made at that time to try to hold all of that together in a world that too often seemed out of control and off running in another direction. When pushed to say in the midst of that, what is at the basis of all that has shown up in Jesus and all that he is saying and proclaiming, doing and calling people to, and all that seemed at the time to the religious, social, and cultural leaders of the day so threateningly new, Jesus reaches back to hold back to what is old and oh so familiar and says, hear this again. Love God, because it is this God, the Lord, who is your God and who has loved you. Bind yourself to this God, because this is the God that has bound himself to you. And you may not have asked for it, Jesus says, but there's a second that is like it. A second that comes right along with the first. And love your neighbor as yourself. And all the rest? The rest, as they say, is just commentary. So I think about this. As we too, perhaps, reach back a little today, back a bit, maybe to our theological heritage, the heritage of the Reformation, the church reformed, always being reformed, according to the Word of God. Because this is indeed our call, to always be being reformed, being changed, being challenged, being shaped and molded by this Word of God. The love of this God that we meet in Jesus Christ and the love of neighbor that we are called to. The scribe recognized this. As he exclaims, this is much more important than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Standing right there, mind you, there at the temple, at the place where all those offerings and sacrifices were made. Where God, indeed, God had said, do this. Give your offerings, make these sacrifices. But the scribe understood that it is so easy for us to lose the heart and the soul of good, holy, and even God-ordained practices and actions. Acts of worship and practices of devotion and charity, right? Charity in the fuller, older sense of the word. Charity, charis, from the Greek word for grace. Practices and acts of charity, of grace that we are called to. The scribe there in that moment understood if they are not themselves formed and shaped by love of God and love for neighbor, on this Reformation Day, here in 2021, where might we hear these words of Jesus, this word of God, and see that we need a reformation, a reforming of our love for God and love for neighbor. A love that is again and again shaped and formed by this word of God, this word of God's love. Maybe that will mean turning over some tables, or maybe that will mean reaching back and holding on to something even tighter. Or more likely a little bit of both. But to be reformed again and again according to the Word of God. The Word that became flesh. The Word that this scribe met there in the temple courtyard. This Word that became flesh and has dwelt among us. Or in the word of Eugene Peterson's translation, The Message, the Word became fleshed And he translates, and moved into the neighborhood. Are we struggling to love our neighbor as ourselves? I know I sometimes do, maybe more than sometimes. And so perhaps it is again and again looking to Jesus and Jesus' love for you and us and the world that we can again be shaped in love for neighbor. Or are you sometimes feeling far from this love of God? As we all do sometimes. Perhaps it is no further away than the nearest opportunity to love our neighbor, to love your neighbor. Are you good at loving your neighbor, as many of us are, but not so good at loving ourselves? Not in a selfish, prideful way, but in a way that honors that you too bear God's image. So perhaps in this is a call to be a neighbor to yourself and remember that Jesus has come to be your neighbor, to be a neighbor to you. Or do we find ourselves facing difficult decisions or cloudy paths forward in what are very strange and uncertain times? Perhaps the answer is as simple as this. What is likely to help my love, your love, our love for God, and love for our neighbor? What is likely to, what decision or course of action is likely to teach us again and again to form and reform us in this love that Jesus is talking about? And so perhaps it is much more like an exercise that we commit to than a feeling we simply have or conjure up. What will exercise? What will work to strengthen our love for God and love for neighbor? Amid the seeming chaos and confusion and division of the world that we find ourselves in our communities, in our nation, even in our churches, perhaps we are ripe for a reformation, ripe to be reformed again according to this word of God. The very beginning of the answers we give, and maybe even more importantly, the questions we ask and listen to and hold, the causes we defend and the causes we let go of, reformed, changed, molded by this word of God, love God with all that we are, and love our neighbor as ourself. So may it be that our lives and our life together, may this become the commentary on this word of God. May who we are and who we seek to be become the commentary on God's love in Jesus Christ, the commentary on love for God and love for neighbor. Be it the neighbors we know and like, the neighbors we know and don't like, the neighbors we have not met, the neighbors we may never meet, the neighbors in our neighborhoods or in the pew with us, or even those neighbors that live in our houses and homes with us, and the neighbors that are made so solely by the facts of our much more connected world. Family, may it be that this law of love would be so bound to the work of our hands, to our thoughts, to our hearts, to all our comings and goings, that who we are and who we strive to be, who we are for each other and for the world, that would write such a commentary on this very word and law of God, this commandment of God, of this God, the Lord, the one whose loving kindness and steadfast faithfulness speaks into our lives in Jesus Christ, that we all may always find ourselves in a position of being formed and reformed around this commandment, this word, this love of God that in Jesus Christ has moved into our neighborhood, such that our lives more and more take the shape of Jesus. Jesus, who has come to love his neighbor as himself, that we may do the same. May we be so reformed again and again. And so this is indeed the first and the last, the beginning and the end, and the very ground of who we are and who we are called to be. And so once again, hear, O beloved of God, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. We shall keep learning to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And the second is like it. We shall keep learning to love our neighbor as ourselves. There is nothing greater than this, Jesus says. And so in this, we also may yet find that we are not far from the kingdom of God. So, beloved, believe the good news of this kingdom that has drawn near in Jesus Christ. Let us continue to turn and trust, to be formed and reformed according to this good news. Amen.